Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, a rather comprehensive episode. Anarcho-tyranny. What is that? Well, we talk about In-N-Out Burger. We talk about the head coach of the Washington State football team. We talk about a rape that happened on a train and people watched idly by. I'm joined at the end of this program with my friend Eric Metaxas, author of Is Atheism Dead? And we have a great conversation. Anarcho-tyranny, where the lawful are penalized and the lawless are rewarded. It is the state of affairs we are living under right now. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. If you want to send us your thoughts, your feedback on this episode, if you want to support our program, you could do so at charliekirk.com/support. I want to thank Brian from Moscow, Idaho, for supporting us at charliekirk.com/support. Thank you. I want to thank Timothy from North Carolina for supporting us. Thank you. I want to thank Daryl from Michigan for supporting us. I want to thank Rachel for supporting us. I want to thank Rebecca for supporting us. I want to thank Donald from Tennessee for supporting us. I want to thank Marshall from California for supporting us. I want to thank Sabrina from Charlotte, North Carolina for supporting us. Kathleen from Maryland, thank you for your support. Chase from Missouri, thank you. Susan from Georgia, thank you. Payal from Kentucky, thank you. Jennifer from Chicago. Kyle from Idaho. Kristen from Missouri, thank you so much for your support. Janelle from Ohio, Corey from Ohio, a lot from Ohio, and Guy from New York. When you support us at charliekirk.com/support, you get behind the important work we are doing to support our program to grow to new heights, charliekirk.com/support. Thank you, thank you, thank you, so we can hire more staff and continue to talk about the issues that matter at charliekirk.com/support. If you want to get involved with Turning Point USA, go to tpusa.com to start a high school group or college group today. And we will see you in December at America Fest, where we have Tucker Carlson, Kaylee McEnany, and more coming to Phoenix, Arizona, tpusa.com/AMFEST, tpusa.com/AMFEST. Check it out right now. Anarcho-tyranny, what does it mean? Buckle up. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Hey, everybody. This episode is brought to you by my friends at ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Secure your device, anonymize your online activity, protect your action online. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. Help our show out by also helping yourself protect yourself. ExpressVPN.com/Charlie. I want to start with this theme that is now hitting a climax. For months, we have been warning about how mandatory vaccines and vaccine mandates are going to result in people either losing their jobs, their careers, their livelihood, their private property. And so it is now at a place where state and local governments, in partnership with the federal government, are able to seize private property and careers from citizens without redress, without any sort of reimbursement. On its face, it is wildly and transparently unconstitutional. But a step further, we are now at a place where the vaccine has more questions surrounding it than ever before. And we have a new podcast out on that topic in particular with Daniel Horowitz, where he goes into great detail about the most vaccinated countries on the planet are having the highest rates of the Fauci virus that they have seen. And it's really that question is whether or not the vaccine is helping or hurting. But still, we are now seeing private businesses being closed because they will not themselves enforce the vaccine mandate. This is the end of private property as we know it, where you have government agencies and government entities that are now saying, we are going to shut down your business if you do not enforce the vaccine the way we want you to enforce the vaccine. We have people losing careers and multi-million dollar jobs because they refuse to take the vaccine that does not 100% prevent you from getting the virus. Breakthrough cases, people with the vaccine who are vaccinated are dying. And yet they say, we still need to destroy your life, even if you have natural immunity, even if you have the antibodies. So one example in particular, there's two examples that highlight this, I think, rather well. The first is a place that all of you should go for lunch today, especially if you're listening on the West Coast, In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger is phenomenal. They are a wonderful company. They do a great job. The owners are Christians, and they deserve your support because now in San Francisco, San Francisco's only In-N-Out location, they've said, look, we are refusing to enforce the San Francisco vaccine mandate. We're not going to go ask people, show us your papers. And I'm going to be honest, people are fighting back. But to the level that we are tolerating the show me your papers, show me your medical records to go get a burger in San Francisco, America's fallen in a great regard. Now, San Francisco is its own place. San Francisco is the greatest example of anarcho-tyranny. Anarcho-tyranny, where it's complete anarchy if you want to do drugs on the side of the street, if you want to defecate in a park, that's their idea of freedom. If you want to wear no clothes, you can walk through the streets of San Francisco. But if you dare not ask every customer whether or not they have the proper medical records, they will shut you down. They will use force. They will say the people with the guns get the final decision. From local San Francisco news outlet, San Francisco's only In-N-Out Burger refuses to enforce the city's vaccination mandate for indoor dining. The health department has temporarily shut down the Fisherman Wharf location, while In-N-Out Corporate maintains, quote, we refuse to be the vaccination police. This is considered to be a wildly controversial take now. Liberals are piling on In-N-Out Burger, which, by the way, all of you should go buy lots of In-N-Out Burger. Connor, let's get In-N-Out Burger for the people at the office today, by the way. I think that's a great idea. Let's go get some In-N-Out Burger for people. They have what, the animal fries? Is that what they have? Big burgers. You like those, Mr. Gordon? You like In-N-Out Burger? It sounds delicious. People say, Charlie, how do I support the good guys? In-N-Out Burger is one of the good guys. I'll tell you what. And so they are coming out and they're saying, we're not going to force the vaccination mandate for our customers. We're not going to say, hey, can I see your intimate medical records? And what's very interesting is now the statists and the collectivists, they are now saying that it's not just that we need you to follow it. We need you to enforce it. We now need to enlist the private company of In-N-Out Burger to go be TSA-style paper checkers when you go in and buy a burger. Let's play the local news report. Play tape.
Restaurants serving customers indoors in San Francisco are required to ask for proof of vaccination. But the city's public health department says the In-N-Out Burger at Fisherman's Wharf disregarded repeated warnings to follow the rules. In-N-Out fired back and said they refused to be the vaccination police for any government. So the department shut down the location last Thursday. It has since reopened, but without indoor dining.
It is really hard to believe why Americans are putting up with this. I know a lot of you are not. San Francisco only plays further into this kind of theme of what do I have in common with someone in San Francisco? Very little. The people in San Francisco are perfectly fine with the sexual anarchy happening on the streets of San Francisco. And yes, I said that again, media matters for you that watch our show. In fact, we're going to have David Engelhardt on our show eventually at some point to go through that because he actually coined that term. In San Francisco, total and complete chaos. You can defecate on the streets. You can do whatever drug you want to do. And yet the tyranny part of it, and this is the kind of the blend of the anarcho-tyranny where it's complete anarchy if you decide to disrupt societal norms. It's anarchy in the sense that if you want to break apart customs and traditions that predated you, but it's tyranny if you do not follow the rules of do you have the right papers. And now remember, this is a very interesting point. Remember, first it was the mask mandates. Then it was the social distancing mandates. Then it was your employees need to be vaccinated. Now it's your customers need to be vaccinated, but it's more than that. It's that you must enforce it. It's that if you do not hire people that work for you at In-N-Out that are checking the vaccination papers as they walk in, they will now shut down your business. They're going to take your stuff from you. You understand the significance of that. The significance is not just that we're going to fine you. It's not just that we're going to say in some press release you're doing a bad job. No, they're going to shut you down. The health department came with guns and said you are not able now to do indoor dining and business at In-N-Out Burger in San Francisco. Now, this regime of the deterioration and erosion of private property, it started in the 1960s with the passage of the Civil Rights Act, which had some wonderful components, but also had some unintended consequences. And the best author of this is Christopher Caldwell. If anyone, you know, any reporter, anyone watching this that finds that to be a stunning thing to say, go read Christopher Caldwell's book, Age of Entitlement. And you will see that there were unintended consequences of all of a sudden saying to private businesses, here's what you can do, here's what you cannot do, that we are going to get rid of the idea that business owners and entrepreneurs actually own the rights to their own property. We got rid of that idea years ago. Private property is only a temporary placeholder until the state decides to intervene. And right now in In-N-Out, at In-N-Out Burger in San Francisco, because they do not want to enlist their employees to check the papers of their customers, they are not allowed to do business. Unfortunately, that's coming to every city across the country very soon if we don't fight back against it. The real estate market is extremely hot right now. People are taking advantage of low interest rates and economic uncertainty by investing in real assets. Whether you are a first-time buyer or just looking to make a change, the key is to getting the property you want is being pre-qualified and having cash in hand. That's why you guys, all of us, myself included, I had to stop doing this. I had to stop using the big banks. I used a big bank for a loan previously. It was a disaster. It took forever. Not to mention, I go look at their score on secondvote.com. Like, wow, my loan helped fund abortions, BLM Incorporated, burning down of Wendy's, the destruction of our society. I'm done with it. Then I met Andrew and Todd. Andrew Del Rey and Todd Avakian, who have become great friends of mine, andrewandtodd.com. They are with Sierra Pacific Mortgage. My producer, Andrew, he's working with them right now, and he tells me they are part counselors, part financial planners, and they're really helping them, and I'm about to use them for something. I've been so impressed by them. But they are bankers, not brokers. That means that they can help you start to finish. But quite honestly, let's divest and take all of our money out of these woke banks. So maybe you're buying a new home. Maybe you're refinancing. Whatever process you're going through, just fill out a couple simple questions online at andrewandtodd.com. They can assess your situation right over the phone. Go to andrewandtodd.com or call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. Even if you have a friend who's buying a home, I'm sure every single person knows someone that's buying a home. Just put your arm around them and say, hey, go to andrewandtodd.com. Charlie Kirk speaks favorably of them. Here's what I can guarantee you with andrewandtodd.com. Zero of the proceeds will go to fund abortion. Zero will go to fund BLM. Zero will go to fund the woke industrial complex instead. Andrew and Todd, they support shows like ours. They want to help patriots, Christians, and people that love their country and love the Lord take out loans and do it correctly. So go to andrewandtodd.com, call 888-888-1172. That's 888-888-1172. andrewandtodd.com. Support the good guys and stop supporting companies and banks that hate you. The banks have waged war on our values. Time to say sayonara, vaya con Dios, alvita sane. I'll be going to andrewandtodd.com. In-N-Out Burger sounds great for lunch, everybody. Go buy a bunch. The same way that we always rally to companies. What was it? Goya beans? Is that the other one? Those beans actually weren't that good, but I have a whole cupboard full of them. So if anyone wants tacos, you guys can go there. When they said nice things about Trump, we bought a bunch of Goya beans. In-N-Out Burger, everybody. Wait in line and get it. They're really great. So check out In-N-Out Burger because they are now being targeted. Their private property has been taken from them without a judge, without a ruling, by the health department. Now, isn't that an example of exactly where we have been heading in the last year and a half? Where unelected, unknown health bureaucrats are able then to say, hey, this is not your business. And if you're a small business owner right now, I want you to look at what's happening to In-N-Out Burger in San Francisco. It's not even that they disobeyed the mandate for their employees to be vaccinated. It's worse than that. It's that the San Francisco Health Department says you are not adequately enforcing our mandate. It's not just that you disagree with it. It's that you are not employing it. You're not using your own salaried workers as a Praetorian guard, as to act as if In-N-Out Burger now needs to be Checkpoint Charlie to go cross from between East and West Berlin. That in order to get a burger and animal fries in downtown San Francisco. Now, here's the great point to kind of circulate all this. It takes more identification. It takes more proving of your identity. There is more focus on the paperwork to get animal fries in San Francisco than there is to walk into our country through the southern border. It is harder to get a burger at In-N-Out Burger at Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco than if you were to waltz across the southern border into our country. And doesn't this go to a theme that we've been talking about on our program, the criminalization of our own citizens? I'm going to tell you a story that happened this last weekend of our not-so-great TSA. Someone just emailed us, Charlie, my wife can't eat bread either. She orders the protein-style burger at In-N-Out. It's a burger without the bun. Kurt, well, thank you. We're going to go buy hundreds of dollars of In-N-Out Burger today. We are going to go load it up because they deserve support. And you guys should too. There is a campaign by the regime, by the Biden regime, on regular everyday citizens. Yet there is a pardoning, there is an excuse, there is a opening for the lawless. So I'm not a morning person, despite the fact we do this show in the morning. Now, some people say, Charlie, it's 9. That's not early. Look, I'm the type of guy that likes to work till 2:30 in the morning. I'm sure some of you resonate with that listening right now. Some of you say, Charlie, what are you talking about? I go to bed at 8:30 with my chamomile tea. That's fine. Everyone's different. Not a morning person. And I'm definitely not a morning flight person. Morning flights, no good. So we were flying to Michigan this last weekend. We did two events in Michigan. We did an amazing event in Loudoun County, Virginia. Went up to Burlington, Vermont. We were all over the place. And so we were at 6 a.m. flying out of Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, and I had to go through TSA. Not a fan. Not a fan at all. And I'm sure there's nice people that work for the TSA. I've met a couple of them. I've met some fans of the show that work for TSA. TSA should be abolished. It should be privatized. It is a joke. It is the post. It's the post office with x-ray machines is what TSA has become. It is an open-air con on the American people that we are funding. As it occurred to me when the TSA went out of their way to try to take an item away from us with no sort of capacity for lost and found, the ability to save it, and I'll tell the whole story, it struck me. You want to go get a burger in Fisherman's Wharf? Show me your papers. You want to try to board an airplane with a family heirloom that they don't like? They're going to throw it away. I'll tell you that story. That the anarcho-tyranny is anarchy if you're from Nicaragua and you might have a voting preference we like. Tyranny if you're an American and a taxpayer that obeys the law. We're going to criminalize you. We'll spy on you. If you're a mom and dad that shows up at a school board meeting, we are going to use the full force of the federal government to come after you. Look, if you've been keeping up with the news, or even if you haven't been, you might hear the word tapering being used a lot. It's the new Federal Reserve new buzzword, and you'll hear all kinds of meaning and definition for it. But what does it really mean? If Washington has to repay around $30 trillion it borrowed, guess where that's coming from? You guessed it, your pocket. Janet Yellen said we'd never see another financial crisis in our lifetime when she ran the Fed. Now, just 4 years later, she's warning of a catastrophe. And here we are. Our friends at Noble Gold can keep you safe and protect you about whatever happens next. By starting a precious metal IRA or 401k portfolio, you can start the fight of the coming wave of inflation and ride out the storm with your savings intact. Buy things that are inflation resistant. And as a bonus and a thank you, you receive a free five ounce solid silver America the Beautiful bullion coin, with each qualifying plan you start this month. Buy things you can touch that are finite, not infinite, that are real and objective and are not some numbers on a screen. So go to noblegoldinvestments.com. That's noblegoldinvestments.com, 877 646-5347, 877-646-5347. Protein style. I'm looking at this in InNOut.com. It looks delicious. Sarah, you're in charge of making sure we have plenty of In-N-Out for everybody. That's your job today. She's in charge of the In-N-Out. They also have double meat, and ooh, their shakes look delicious. In-N-Out Burger is standing up against the San Francisco City Health Department, and they're not even trying to pick a fight. This is the most important thing. The San Francisco County Health Department is coming after them and is saying that if you don't enforce the paperwork the way we want to, we're shutting down your business altogether. The double-double looks great, too. All right, let's finish the story. So 6 a.m. flight, special form of – it's a special kind of version of torture to take a 6 a.m. flight. Taken far too many in my life. And so I'm at Phoenix Sky Harbor Airport, and my wife had to go through the regular TSA. I went through TSA pre, and I was waiting for her. And then she texted me, and she said, oh, they took my bag. I think I know what it is. I said, what is it? So she said, I had a meeting with my father a couple days before, and she had in her backpack a family heirloom. She had a pocket knife, very small, that was from her grandfather that was with him in World War II and was passed down through generations. Obviously, you can't have a pocket knife on the plane, and we acknowledge that. And so the TSA agent took it out, and he said, we're going to have to throw this away, or we can give you the opportunity to go outside or down and mail it off. We're like, we're super late for our flight because the lines were so long because of how incompetent TSA was. And we said, well, isn't there some sort of lost and found? Can't you guys keep it behind? And they said, no. No, we're going to throw it away, or you could go and check it. We said, we don't have time to check it. And so I looked at him. I said, how do you actually think you're making people's lives safer? Do you actually think you are in the practice of making the world a better place? They said, I sleep well. I sleep great at night because I can know you won't have a pocket knife on the plane. I said, it's not about the pocket knife. That pocket knife was from World War II and is a family heirloom. So you're now making this decision. Either I'm going to miss my flight, or my wife will, or you're going to throw away the family heirloom. And unfortunately, because of timing and scheduling and everything, my wife made the decision. She said, it's important I'm with you on this trip. And the TSA agent threw it away. And I thought to myself, huh, are the people crossing in the southern border where they're smuggling children and bringing guns and drugs not being tested for the Fauci virus and no vaccine mandates? Are they the ones that are actually having that kind of criminality towards them? No, instead, we have a domestic war on our fellow countrymen. It's this idea of citizens versus subjects. We are treating foreign nationals, people that waltz across the border, as preferred beneficiaries of the American project, but people that pay taxes are now people that are targets and subjects of the full muscle and weight of the federal government. I want to read this about anarcho-tyranny from Sam Francis. You want to talk about a thought crime? Go read Sam Francis. What we have in this from 2005, what we have in this country today is both anarchy, the failure of the state to enforce the laws, and at the same time, tyranny, the enforcement of laws by the state for oppressive purposes, the criminalization of the law-abiding and innocent through exorbitant taxation, bureaucratic regulation, the invasion of privacy, and the engineering of social institutions, such as the family and local schools, the imposition of thought control through sensitivity training and multiculturalist curricula, hate crime laws, gun control laws that punish or disarm otherwise law-abiding citizens but have no impact on violent criminals who get guns illegally, and the vast labyrinth of other measures, in other words, is anarcho-tyranny. That was written in 2005, and it is more applicable than ever before. I could add on to it. Vaccine mandates, closures of schools, closures of businesses. Now, In-N-Out Burger is not the only company, enterprise, or person that is experiencing this. Washington State University is trying to get their football program back. They have a coach that is very popular, or they had a coach that was very popular. So according to Governor Inslee, they had a zero tolerance policy of imposing vaccine mandates on the people that work in the state of Washington. And we're going to play two things of sound. We are going to play 36, then we're going to play, I think, 9, which is the Washington police officer signing off. But cut 36 is the head coach of Washington State University. The Washington State University athletic director, who's a pathetic and weak and sad human being. I do not say that lightly. He says, we have fired Nick Rokolovich and his assistants. Now, I'm just going to go out on a limb. This is total conjecture. Nick Rokolovich. Rokolovich sounds Serbian or Croatian. Sounds as if he's from Yugoslavia, formerly Yugoslavia before Tito died in the early 90s. Early 90s, 92, 93, 94. Yugoslavia then broke into its original ethnic parts of Croatia, Albania, Bosnia, Serbia. Now there's Herzegovina, Kosovo, and many others. Now I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to go out on a limb that Nick Rokolovich and his family lived under, that he grew up in, or his parents grew up in Serbian or Yugoslavian communism, and he knows the weight of what a vaccine mandate is. Play cut 36.
Today, Nick Rokolovich was formally notified by the university that he has failed to meet the requirements as stated in the state of Washington Governor Inslee's Proclamation 21-14-1 related to vaccination requirements. The noncompliance with this requirement renders him ineligible to be employed at Washington State University and therefore can no longer fulfill the duties as a head coach of our football program effective immediately.
It's pathetic. So because he won't take the vaccine, they fire the head football coach. I just want to say that's what courage looks like for that coach. He's willing to put his career aside. And by the way, I've been to Pullman before. Pretty nasty people there. I'm sure we have a Turning Point chapter there, and I'm sure they're fine. Cut 9 is a police officer that is now signing off and saying, I'm done. Police officer signs off for the last time to vaccine mandates. Jay Inslee can kiss my blank. Before you play the tape, I want to go back to what Sam Francis wrote in 2005, anarcho-tyranny. What we have in this country today is both anarchy, the failure of the state to enforce the laws. For example, if you defecate on the streets, you do drug on the streets, you are waltzing into the southern border, if you burn down a Wendy's. Remember, zero people have been charged because of the violence in Portland and Seattle. Remember that? Zero people of the domestic terrorist arsonists charged of what they did in Portland and Seattle, Minneapolis, D.C. Remember when they tried to take over the White House during Floydapalooza last summer? None of those people were charged. Anarcho-tyranny. So here you have here a police officer that is being fired, yet the lawless, the people that actually burnt down Seattle, the people that actually created the Capitol Hill Autonomous Zone, a new country, Chaz, they can do whatever they want. Play tape.
This is my final sign-off. After 22 years of serving the citizens of the state of Washington, being asked to leave because I am dirty. State 1034, this is the last time you'll hear me in a state patrol car. And Jay Inslee can kiss my
penalizing the lawful, rewarding the lawless. Now, this is pretty cool. I got to say, I saw this one coming from a mile away. Nick Rokolovich's grandfather came from Montenegro, which is right there on the Balkan Peninsula, settled in Pennsylvania, who found steady work in coal mines. The family moving west to mitigate the ravages of black lung disease and giving rise to one of Bay Area's greatest family trees of public safety professionals. Montenegro, Serbia, it's all in that kind of Yugoslavian Balkan Peninsula. I grew up with Serbs. They're some of the greatest people in the world. Some of my dearest friends in the world growing up were Serbians. I could tell you they hated communism. They knew what this meant. I want to go to cut 12. And you've seen this before. There's no sound on this. Meanwhile, Biden and Jill Biden, they can waltz around maskless in Washington, D.C. So In-N-Out Burger has to be closed in San Francisco because they don't want to turn their front door into Checkpoint Charlie. We'll talk about Checkpoint Charlie later this hour if we have time. Police officers have to sign off in Washington and give away their careers. The head football coach of Washington State University, Rokolovich, has to resign or be fired. Meanwhile, Joe Biden can waltz through restaurants without a mask on. Play this short tape. So There's Joe Biden, no mask on, indoors, doing whatever he wants to do. It's not about hypocrisy. It's about hierarchy. Email us your thoughts, everybody. freedom@charliekirk.com. We're living in a state of affairs where we are using government power to go after the people that are doing the right thing. And we are pardoning and allowing, subsidizing and rewarding people that burn down the Wendy's, the people that engage in violent crime, that walk openly into the southern border. Through sensitivity training, multiculturalist curricula, hate crime laws, gun controls that punish or disarm otherwise law-abiding citizens but have no impact on violent criminals who get guns illegally. The vast labyrinth of other measures, in other words, is anarcho-tyranny, which is what we're living through right now. Look, I often talk about the crushing debt and lack of jobs that come with the broken college system in our country and how entering a trade or vocational school can provide great career opportunities where your skills will always be in demand. I want to talk to you about the American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing. If you go to trainingndt.com, that's trainingndt.com, you can learn how to have an opportunity to work in industries such as aerospace, oil, gas, nuclear, and alternative energy as a technician performing critical inspections that make our world a safer place. The American Institute of Non-Destructive Testing provides 93% job placement, and graduates enjoy a starting wage of about $50,000 a year. You can earn $60,000, $70,000, or even $80,000 yearly within a couple years as a technician. Their program consists of 6 months online education followed by 3 weeks at the American Institute campus using state-of-the-art inspection equipment such as ultrasonics, capturing x-rays, and producing magnetic fields to inspect critical components to ensure their safety and reliability. If you're looking for a career shift, or if you are in high school and you're not sure what you want to do, I want you to know that Don Booth, the CEO, is a patriot, and his whole team cares deeply about the future of every graduate. Go to trainingndt.com to learn about this exciting and rewarding career. Check it out, everybody. Trainingndt.com. Check it out. It's a wonderful program. Trainingndt.com. Email us your thoughts. freedom@charliekirk.com. Connor says that he is getting a special type of shake. They have chocolate, strawberry, or vanilla with real ice cream. What are you getting, Mr. Gordon? What's that? Okay. So I need to tell you guys about Alliance Defending Freedom. Alliance Defending Freedom is terrific. It's where, look, the rubber is really hitting the road right now. Our friends at Alliance Defending Freedom have just filed a lawsuit challenging the Biden regime's mandates that seek to force religious and nonprofit employers to pay for so-called gender transition surgeries. ADF attorneys were in federal court on Tuesday asking for an immediate halt of enforcement of these bizarre mandates. On behalf of the Christian Employers Alliance, ADF Senior Counsel Matt Bowman stated that President Biden has far overreached his constitutional authority, adding that the government cannot force Christian employers to pay for harmful medical procedures that contradict their religious beliefs. I need you to go right now to charliekirk.com and click on the ADF Donate Now banner to help ADF. I've been telling you all month that your freedoms could easily face an attack, and here it is. ADF is geared up for this battle, but they need your help to cover the cost of defending our freedoms. So please go to charliekirk.com and click on the Alliance Defending Freedom banner and consider a $100 donation to the Freedom Fund. So go to charliekirk.com, click on Alliance Defending Freedom. Check it out right now. I want to play some tape here of a video that's going totally viral. What tape is this? Of Pfizer? Do we have that one locked up? Now, we've been saying that the media companies and the propagandists are bought and paid for by the pharmaceutical companies. And is this the one that has them fired up? If not, we'll just go to Berenson. And so we can go there. And so let's go to Cut 56. And so Alex Berenson just joined Joe Rogan recently. And he is now saying, he's now coming out and showing that most deaths in the United Kingdom are people that are fully vaccinated. Fully vaccinated. Play Cut 56.
The vast majority of people in Britain who died in September were fully vaccinated. 1,270 out of 1,500 were fully vaccinated. 607 of the 70-year-olds out of 800 were fully vaccinated. 258 out of the 411 60-year-olds, they were almost all fully vaccinated. Most people who die of this now are fully vaccinated in the UK.
In the UK. And yet we're firing football coaches, firefighters. So I want to play this tape. Where's the firefighter here? There's a tape. Oh, yeah. Cut 57, firefighter coming out against the vaccine mandate. I'm scheduled actually to go on Maria Bartiromo's show with him on Sunday. Play tape.
Today, myself and thousands of other brave men and women are being forced to either comply with the mandate or face termination for standing in their beliefs. I'm choosing to stand in my belief. I believe in freedom. This is for everyone who's standing up for this and for everyone else who felt forced to comply. Vax or no vax, let us come together and rethink firing thousands of brave men and women.
This is one of the biggest issues happening in the country. And, of course, there's total silence from most Republican elected officials. They don't care. They don't even know what's happening. They couldn't even be annoyed by this sort of issue. And we are seeing livelihoods fall apart. We are seeing careers get put into jeopardy because of this mandate by force. But don't worry. If you don't want to get vaccinated, all you have to do is this. Go fly to Mexico City, waltz across the southern border illegally, and you will be exempt from the vaccine mandate. Because right now, the way the regime is organizing everything, they are giving preference to the lawlessness, and they are making the lawful into criminals. Firefighters, police officers, airline pilots, veterans, Marines, football coaches, restaurants in San Francisco, Fisherman's Wharf. So what do we do about it, people ask? Well, Delta Airlines has just rescinded their policy. We can win with this. They rescinded their vaccine mandate policy. And it's also very important to understand the type of country you're living in. People say, well, aren't we a nation of laws anymore? I'm afraid that's going away. We're a nation of who's in charge and willing to use that power. And right now, the only power that we have is the power of the workers and the everyday people that are going to refuse to be crushed by the mandates, by the tyranny, and the totalitarianism that has seeped into every single aspect of the anarcho-tyranny regime running America. I've been telling you guys about Relief Factor for quite some time. And truth is, I know millions of people are, in fact, 100 million people are in some kind of pain. Look, producer Andrew, he couldn't walk. He was a hobbled individual. He was bedridden in his chair, complaining all the time. And then all of a sudden, we got this call from Relief Factor. They said, hey, we want to partner with your show. We're going to send you some Relief Factor. Producer Andrew got it. He took it, got a little bit better, took some more, got a little bit better. Next thing you know, he's doing the Fallsberry flop like you wouldn't believe. In fact, he might be training for an Ironman. It's pretty incredible. Now, he says it's thanks to Relief Factor. I ask him all the time, Relief Factor? He says ReliefFactor.com, 100% drug-free supplement. You can get it for less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day. So go to ReliefFactor.com, and I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start to see if we can get you out of pain. And then after that, it's less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. So go to ReliefFactor.com. That is ReliefFactor.com. I'm telling you, a lot of people are in pain. It's 100% drug-free. Don't go to opioids. Don't go to these other things. Check it out at ReliefFactor.com. Did you know today, according to the Department of State, is International Pronouns Day? That's right. The Department of State has come out and they've said today on International Pronouns Day, we share why many people list their pronouns on their email and social media profiles. The branch of diplomacy for the federal government of the United States is on share.america.gov, says, why do so many Americans list pronouns on social media profiles? This is the concern of your government. In the United States, it's becoming increasingly common for people to share their pronouns. Third-person personal pronouns are used to describe a person or people in American English grammar as the subject or the object of the possessive. These pronouns include the gender-neutral they, them, theirs, words that traditionally refer to a plural number, but today are used by some individuals who identify as gender non-binary. We must be pronoun proficient, ShareAmerica.gov has. During his first few days in office, President Biden has signed an executive order to prevent discrimination on the basis of sexual orientation. I know what you're thinking. that China's getting really worried about us. Let's put up the picture of our new four-star admiral, who's known as Rachel. This picture of this killer. This is, you know what? This makes General Patton look like child's play. Four-star admiral. And so here we have the Department of State not worrying about Americans being stranded overseas, not worried about the $85 billion in weapons that we give to the Taliban, not worried about China about to take Taiwan. No. But instead, they are worried about International Pronoun Day. See? So today's International Pronoun Day, in case any of you know. Country's falling apart, but at least we got our pronouns right. Let's go to some more cuts here of some more sound of some news that's been kind of surrounding all of this. So we have the rise of the criminal enforcement against the lawful, but then cut 53, small business owner in Seattle blasts the city's Democrat leaders over rising crime. Play tape.
I think a lot of business is going to close down, and I have to be, you know, protecting myself by myself because I don't feel safe. I can't sleep well. Every night I wake up and it's like, okay, I'm going to go check my store. 2-3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, because I don't know what's going to happen. People, they don't care. They just break into your store to take even small things. If you don't have anything, just take whatever.
Why?
Because there's no police officer in the street.
Seattle has become a much more dangerous place. Same with Portland, same with Minneapolis. This is the George Floyd effect. The George Floyd effect is the retreat of police and law enforcement from cities and municipalities and localities for pathological and political reasons. There's been a 30% increase in murders in 2020, 21,570 total murders since last year. A surge in killings drove an overall 5% increase in violent crime. 2021 homicides are running ahead of last year by a count of 4,033 to 3,341 at the same time in 2020. At least 77% of the murders were committed with firearms. Overall, violent crime has increased by 5%. There are more than 4,000 murders that were attributed to arguments. At least 900 of them were gang killings. More than 1,900 were committed in the context of other crimes, including robberies or drug crimes. Black Americans, who make up 14% of the population, represented more than half of the 2020 victims whose race was known. And compared with 2019, the number of white males murdered rose by 27%. The number of black males murdered rose by 31%. And so we are now seeing in every single category imaginable, crime in America go up by sometimes double digits. Now, what are they focusing on in Chicago? In Chicago, they are not focusing on, for those of you listening on AM560 Answer, the 649 people shot and killed in Chicago, the 3,151 people shot and wounded, the 3,800 people total shot, or the 690 total homicides. No. They're worried about, according to Lori Lightfoot, she is worried about the enforcement of her vaccine mandate. Lori Lightfoot is more concerned with whether or not the police officers are not stopping crime, but whether or not they are vaccinated. Lori Lightfoot has come out and she had said that if you oppose the vaccine mandate, you're an insurrectionist. You know what? If you try to say that you don't want to get vaccinated, you're basically trying to take over the entire government. Play cut 45.
And we're not having that. The contract is clear and it's been known for a long time. The police unions are not authorized to strike. It's in their collective bargaining agreement. And it's a matter of state law. What we've seen from the Fraternal Order of Police and particularly the leadership is a lot of misinformation, a lot of half-truths and frankly flat out lies in order to induce an insurrection. And we're not having that.
In order to induce an insurrection is what Lori Lightfoot says. The Chicago Sun-Times, they say, so what's wrong with vaccine hesitancy? Chicago cops don't want to be told to take the vaccine because they're red state white bread Trumpies huddled in their walled enclaves in blue state multicultural Chicago. Not taking the vaccine is the middle finger to science and authority. Being cops, they just can't deny themselves. It's their William Wallace cry of freedom is what they say. COVID denialism is holy writ liturgy established by their fearful leader in early 2020, and it has now become a cargo cult show of loyalty faith until his triumphant return. These people they don't spend a lot of time actually developing arguments. They just use insurrectionist, racist, bigot, conspiracy theorist, anti-vaxxer. Chicago police who retire instead of being vaccinated may be denied retirement benefits. From CNN, roughly 35% of the city's 12,770 police officers could be placed on a no-pay status in the foreseeable future. A memo obtained by CNN states any civilian or sworn employee who disobeys a direct order to comply with the city's vaccination policy, quote, will become the subject of a disciplinary investigation that could result in a penalty up to and including separation from the Chicago Police Department. Now, mind you, if you're in Chicago and you're an illegal immigrant, they're not going to use the police to come after you. It's a sanctuary city. That is an act of insurrection. That's an act of secession. But instead, if you're a police officer who doesn't want to get a highly questionable mandatory vaccine, then they're going to place you on unpaid leave. So what does Bill de Blasio have to say about this? He says, if you choose not to get vaccinated, you have the right to go on unpaid leave. The bottom line is we're not going to pay people unless they're vaccinated. Oh, but you will pay illegal immigrants. You will pay people that are on drugs, but you're not going to pay heroes that don't want to get vaccinated against their will. Bill de Blasio, who's ruined the once greatest city in the world, New York City, play cut 61.
So we say vaccinate. If you choose not to, you have the right to go on unpaid leave. We're going to work with your union to figure out what happens next. But the bottom line is we're not going to pay people unless they're vaccinated. They don't lose their jobs. They can correct and come back. I think that's compassion. I think that's right.
Yeah, we're just going to say go home and we're not going to pay you. Washington Post, don't rant about short-staffed stores and supply chain woes. The next segment, hey, breadlines are coming and you better enjoy it, okay? Breadlines are actually freedom. You understand that, right? Freedom is slavery. 2 + 2 = 5. We're all living in Orwell's world now. There's a financial war against the middle class. Nobody wants to talk about it, but I'm sure you could see it all around you. Gas prices are the highest they've been in over 7 years, and the cost of housing is untouchable for most people. It's no surprise that hardworking Americans cannot get ahead. But what if I told you there's an asset that you can invest in, not only to hedge your wealth, but also to potentially grow it? In fact, this asset class has outperformed the S&P 500 by 174% from 1995 to 2020. Would you be surprised if I told you it's contemporary art? After all, the ultra-wealthy, like the Rockefellers, have placed their bets on art for centuries. But that's all changed thanks to the alternative investing world's only $1 billion startup, Masterworks. Now you can invest in the same art collected by billionaires for a fraction of the price. Demand for this amazing platform is higher than ever. However, you can join the 222,000 users today with my special URL. See important disclosures. Inflation is here, everybody. Buy things that there's only a finite amount about. And some of that wacky art is really, really valuable. Masterworks.io/Kirk. Masterworks.io/disclaimer. War is peace. Freedom is slavery. Ignorance is strength. Orwell wrote in 1984. And breadlines? Breadlines are good. They will make you fulfilled. Fat and happy. Washington Post has just published an article. Don't rant about short-staffed stores and supply chain woes. You should delight in the suffering. Get used to breadlines, obviously. American consumers might have been spoiled, but generations of them have dealt with shortages of some kind. Now it's our turn to wait in line. Tweets came up all across the weekend of young Democrat socialists who were saying, you don't understand the type of community and camaraderie that was born out of breadlines. It was a beautiful thing. One of the great things that came out of the Soviet Union were breadlines. Zero sarcasm when they say this, by the way. Zero. Tucker Carlson says that the American way of life is quickly declining. And intentionally so. But the rich, the powerful, well-connected, they will be well-fed. Joe Biden will not miss a meal. Mark Milley will definitely not miss a meal. The people in charge, they'll be well fed. But for those of you that are going to try to feed your family this Christmas season, expect 20 to 50 to 70% price shocks, supply shocks. You see, abundance covers a multitude of sins. There's only two explanations for what they're doing here. Either they want to break the back of the American economy to try to fit in the Great Reset as quickly as possible, or number two, they're trying to break the back of the American economy to try to create some sort of a revolution. I'm not sure that's the one, though, because people are getting so uneasy people are getting so anxious about this. I don't think that the ruling class will be able to manage, to successfully manage what's coming next. Play cut 63.
And this trend has continued. The Washington Post just ran this headline, and we're quoting, "Don't rant about short-staffed stores and supply chain woes. Rather than, quote, living constantly on the verge of throwing a fit, we do ourselves a favor by consciously lowering expectations." Got that? So if you don't like the fact that the shelves are bare in your local store, don't throw a fit. Don't be an entitled little tool. Lower your expectations. What did you expect in America? Come on.
Rather than living constantly on the verge or throwing a fit, risk taking it out or risk taking it out on overwhelmed servers, we do ourselves a favor by consciously lowering our expectations. She says, "The other day I found myself carrying home a loaf of bread in my bare hands because the bakery had run out of bags. Back when we didn't know how good we had it, circa 2019, I might have been annoyed by this inconvenience. Now I was just glad the bakery was still in business," she says. There's a shortage of food delivery drivers nationwide. Now, what's so funny about this is that she's saying how good we had it when Trump was president. These people have no self-awareness. You mean how good we had it when the orange man you tried to twice impeach and remove from office, that democracy dies in darkness, the threat to democracy, the Putin's puppet. She says here, back when we didn't know how good we had it in circa 2019. Oh, you mean with the president that you were trying to derail at every single corner? Thank you, Washington Post, for admitting that in 2019, when Donald Trump was president, things were a lot better. You read this article. It's a stunning piece of writing. She says, "I don't know about where you live, but in Ann Arbor, the luxury of blithely tapping on a phone and summoning a restaurant delivery that arrives in 45 minutes is over. There's a shortage of food delivery drivers nationwide. The sanity-preserving move is to assume an hour and a half for delivery, and then a mere hour and 10 minutes is a pleasant surprise," she says. "All I can do is hope for the best, like everybody else, and keep expectations reasonable. Eventually, the supply chain will get straightened out." This is an amazing thing. These people get published in the Washington Post. She says, "Oh yeah, things are just going to work out themselves. It's this kind of a natural order. American consumers might have been spoiled, but generations before them have dealt with shortages of some kind. Gasoline in the 70s, food rationing in the 40s, housing in the 20s, when cities such as Detroit was booming. Oh, what do those have in common? What happened in the 20s? What happened in the 40s? What happened in the 70s? How about massive government intervention, which we're seeing now, which is ruining the market signals and the pricing signals of what things cost, they should cost, causing supply shocks, demand issues, chaos within the regular market order. But don't worry, everybody. Let me say this again. War is peace, and ignorance is strength, and freedom is actually slavery. And breadlines are satisfying. You should be thankful you get to wait in line. You should be thankful your way of life is collapsing underneath you. Don't believe me? Just read the Washington Post. It's a great thing you're going to starve. Get used to it. And if not, you're a racist. Charlie Kirk here, and I've warned you about home title theft, where cyber thieves remove you from your home's title and become the owner. I said you better get home title locked because it's coming. Well, if you're on Facebook, that big breach is here. Facebook had 500 million accounts exposed to cyber thieves. And according to a retired FBI cybercrime expert, everything thieves need to take over as the new owner of your home was leaked. Name, address, personal information, it's out there. The thief forges your signature on a quitclaim deed stating you sold your home to him. He'll leave you in debt or he'll even have you evicted. Do what I did and protect your home's title with Home Title Lock. Go to HomeTitleLock.com and register your address to see if you're already a victim. Then sign up for 30 free days of protection during this high-risk breach. Then sign up for 30 free days of protection. Again, HomeTitleLock.com. That's HomeTitleLock.com. I found somebody to join me. His name is Eric Metaxas. First, Joe Manchin is thinking of leaving the Democrat Party. And this is some breaking news which would break the back of the Democrat caucus. And it says here that Manchin tells associates he's considering leaving the Democrat Party and has an exit plan if so. And so this is something that we're looking right now. It's unclear. And so it's unclear whether in this scenario Manchin would end up caucusing with the Democrats, which would allow them to continue to control the Senate, or side with the Republicans and place the Senate in Republican hands. In either event, he would hold great sway over half of Congress, with it being tied 50-50. 50. So we'll keep an eye on that. Eric, we had a great event yesterday, and you have a new book out, Is Atheism Dead? People are raving about it. People waited for like an hour and a half to get a copy of your book last night. So let's talk a little bit about your book, but also just kind of more generally. So Eric, we're living under, and we're kind of the theme we've been going through is we're living under anarcho-tyranny in this country right now, which is anarchy for the people that want to destroy society, tyranny for the people that want to preserve it. Right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of the selective enforcement of the laws.
Yeah.
Kind of goes to the Cicero quote, the more laws, the less justice. James Madison said the rule of law will be dead if the laws become so voluminous that people don't even know who they are. But part of this entire kind of regime kind of comes from a godless type worldview.
There's no question.
So talk a little bit about how atheism has and just the godless idea.
I mean, you can see it. First of all, you can just see it anecdotally, right? When you look at political power, who did the Nazis know they had to neutralize and destroy? The church. Now, they would never go after mere churchgoers who are already self-neutralized and useless. Mm-hmm. They go after the hardcore believers like Dietrich Bonhoeffer, like Martin Niemöller, because they said those people are the threat to our false power.
Mm-hmm.
You see that everywhere. You see that in China. In China, why are they demonizing the Uyghur Muslims? Because the Uyghur Muslims say, we are Muslims. We believe in God. That's that. And the Chinese say, no. You need to give your like pinch of incense to Caesar, to us, the Chinese atheist state. If you don't do that, we will torture you. We will kill you. So Christians, particularly around the world, have been treated this way. In my book, Is Atheism Dead?, I get real in dealing with – like I feel like a lot of people dealt with the new atheists like Christopher Hitchens and Dawkins – with kid gloves, and they played patty cake with them like, well, we're interested in your ideas. The fact of the matter is they need to be confronted with the satanic cruelty of atheist regimes. I don't know how you get around the fact that when atheism gets power, it treats human beings worse than dogs, worse. It is so evil what atheist regimes have done. And the crazy thing is that you have atheists or people who don't like religion talking about the Crusades and all these things. Folks, there is not even the beginning of a comparison. When you think of the people murdered in cold blood, I don't mean in warfare. I mean murdered and tortured by communist regimes. You know, you have to say logically, why is that? Why would they do that? One of the reasons is because they don't believe in good or evil. They believe in power. And if they can crush you, they don't think you're made in God's image or you're a sacred individual. So wherever you see real American-style self-government, you see the protection of the weak. You see protection of the minorities. The majority cannot crush the minority and say, we outvote you and we're going to kill you. But where you take God out of the equation, you get less freedom. But I think we have not taken this to the atheists and say, listen, if anybody has any explaining to do, it is you who have explaining to do. And I don't know how anybody could possibly take real atheism seriously unless they're willing to confront that. And they don't confront it, frankly, because what in the world are they going to say? They know it's true.
But it is – it's not just a metaphysic worldview, though. It's also become a political worldview, which is that if you believe that there is a God and you are not him, then there's an accountability structure. There would be an idea of
– I mean – everything flows from it,
yes.
Right? I mean, this is why the founders saw – I wrote about this in my book, If You Can Keep It. I said the founders saw something that was really unique in history. It was astonishing. They said if people are virtuous – and all the founders said this, not just, you know, John Adams. They said if people are basically virtuous – they will be able to govern themselves. They don't need a government forcing them to go to this church, to do this, mm-hmm. to not steal, whatever. They will govern themselves if they're virtuous. And the founders saw, almost like sociologists, they said, you know what? The people who take God the most seriously tend to be the most virtuous. Isn't this interesting? So we want to promote religion, but we cannot force religion. But we notice that when people embrace faith freely, they are happier, they thrive, they govern themselves, they have lower taxes because they don't need to fund a gigantic government. As that has shifted in the last 50 years and more since LBJ's Great Society and on and on and on and on, the bigger the government gets, just like the Cicero quote, it happens over and over and over. And I think that we're at a reckoning time in America where we start saying, like, even if you don't believe in the God of the Bible, you need to get real with the historical facts. The historical facts are when people have believed in that God, things have been better for everyone, for atheists, for Buddhists, for Muslims. We need to deal with that and stop pretending that that's not the case. It is the case. There's no way around it.
So what's the reaction to your book been so far from people that are kind of in that community?
I haven't gotten much feedback yet from atheists. And I think that here's the other problem. A lot of atheists are just angry. They don't care about following rules. So they'll go on Amazon and they'll leave nasty one-star reviews. They haven't even read the book. So I'm asking people, if you have read the book, please leave a positive review, because this is this game that they play. You've dealt with this way more than I have.
That's right.
The idea of an honest atheist engaging with me, boy, do I welcome that. That is a joy. Yesterday when I co-hosted your program, one atheist called up and I was able to have somewhat of a nice conversation. I think it's important to understand there are some people who say they're atheists who are open to truth and you can have a conversation.
And then you get these secular religions, though, that start to come in, right?
Well, that's the other thing. It's like you can't really, you know, it's kind of like saying, let's wipe out math. Well, what are we going to replace it with? When you wipe out truth, you're going to replace it with weird stuff.
Like
and the secular religion – go ahead.
Well, yeah, which just connects to kind of a breaking news item. Walmart has come out with a critical race theory training program denouncing the United States as a white supremacy system, teaches white hourly wage employees they're guilty of white supremacy thinking and internalized racial superiority. So when you remove God – it's going to replace it with these kind of secularized.
It's
going
to, I mean, secularize is a nice word. It's called cultural Marxism.
Yes.
And since we don't have a lot of time, let's call that what it is. It is evil. It is anti-human. It hurts black people in the name of helping them. We need to get real. That's where we are. And I don't know how we can do it, but we need to go up against these cowards like Walmart, the executives at these organizations. These cowards are enabling human beings in America to have their lives destroyed. So who's ever running HR at Walmart or any of these places, shame on you. And we need to come after these people and make them pay a price, just the way some of the airlines are making some of the airline employees are making the airlines pay a price for their lunacy on demanding vaccines.
Well, and there was always this false promise embedded in atheism that, well, if we get rid of God and we get rid of fundamentalism, then we could still enjoy the fruits of liberty,
right,
and there won't be some sort of nonsense that fills the void.
Yeah. Well, actually, there's a quote in my book. I wouldn't have remembered it, except I did a podcast with someone else this morning, and they quoted it to me, and I thought, this is so beautiful. John Lennox, who I quote a lot in the book, he's a hero. He did a ton of ministry and debates in the Soviet Union when it was, you know, the Soviet Union, and he went there more recently, and the former atheist communist came up to him and said, what is going on with people like Richard Dawkins? Don't they understand that we tried this over here? We tried to remove God, and we ended up removing God and removing any respect for human beings. We destroyed human lives. Why don't they know this? This has been tried. This is not like a new idea.
And the replacement is unfortunately something that is chaotic and is totalitarian, because then and we've touched on this briefly before, but I want to build this out, and we only have a minute, we'll get into it, is that then you will get godlike people, or people that try to be like God here on earth. And that,
yeah, they're called monsters. They're called like satanic, narcissistic monsters who want to crush you if you get in their way. That's called original sin taken to its logical extreme.
So are you optimistic in like 30 seconds that the momentum is starting to turn America to be less atheist?
I have no doubt that because people are waking up, by God's grace, things have gotten so horrible that people are waking up and fighting. If we fight on our knees in prayer and in activism and doing everything we can, I believe God will have mercy on this nation. But we got to get busy. We're in a war. We got to fight.
You go to atheist.org. You read them. They say, we're fighting to protect real religious freedom. They say they have 230 affiliates across the world. But, you know, it's so interesting. You go to atheist.org. The first thing they have is, being black and atheist in America, it's all CRT, because they have to replace it with left-wing secular religion.
Yeah, they're not even actual atheists. They're basically Marxists.
Yeah, they're Marxists that make that as their religion. They just don't believe in the metaphysics
of
existence. They say they don't. So atheism as an idea might be dead, but there are more atheists in America today than there were even 20 or 30 years ago. So let me read this story to you, Eric, and it's something that will resonate for you as a New Yorker. You remember the story of Kitty Genovese? Remember that story?
You know what? I certainly do, and I know what you're going to say because it just happened and it made me sick. Go ahead.
But I think it ties into godlessness.
Of course it does. Of course it does.
Philadelphia train rapist is an illegal immigrant protected by ICE for years. So there was a 35-year-old Fiston Ngoy, an illegal alien, not deported because of sanctuary city policies, and he raped a woman on a train. But the most troubling part of the entire story was that people watched it happen, and they did nothing while he was raping this person.
Okay, let's forget about the people. What about the men? Are they real men or are they eunuchs? They're not eunuchs for the kingdom unless they're eunuchs for the kingdom of Satan. Where are the men? How could a man allow something like this to happen without heroically getting in there and doing something? Kitty Genovese, that happened in 1964, where a woman was raped and evidently people were just hiding and watching it and nobody did anything. Now you have this happening again. And the question is why? I would say ultimately it's because men are no longer being men, which
That's
is,
right.
of course, a God issue.
Of course it is.
Something happened to me on a train. You can't exactly compare it to this, but it was the day after the election in 2016. No, it was the day of the election. And I was riding the subway train. And four or five thugs got on the train, okay? And they said, hey, anybody here vote for Trump? Okay, now 5 minutes before, 2 minutes before this,
you take the bait.
A black American got on the train and said to me, are you Eric Metaxas? Oh, my mother loves your stuff. When I had this incredible conversation with this young man, right? Now, three thugs who happen to be African American get on the train. I say they're thugs because you could feel that they are there to cause trouble, okay? And they say, did anybody here vote for Trump? And I look around the train and like everybody's looking down. And I thought, you jerks. This is the United States of America. You're going to let some 20-year-old punk, like I'm old enough to be your father or grandfather. You're going to like. So I said, I voted for Trump. Everybody in the chair was like, ooh. And I was like, I'm in America. My parents came to this country for freedom. You think some 20-year-old or 19-year-old, you're going to threaten me? I don't think so. I do not think so. And so he got in my face and was this crazy stuff and this crazy stuff. And of course, as I got off the train, two big guys said like, hey, man, we had your back in case anything went down. Like they didn't say anything. But, you know, they people need to step up.
And you were wearing your salmon pants.
And if
during
you
all of this,
no, I was wearing like a. Like a bespoke jacket just to show that I was part of the 1%.
But the point with the train incident, and that's a similar story. This one's obviously more horrific. People sat and did nothing. I want you to listen to this news report, everybody. Cut 66. This is the state of where the country is. People sit idly by while women get raped. Play 66.
At Upper Darby's 69th Street Station, passengers of the Market Frankfurt line are outraged.
The attack was brutal. It was wicked. And the worst part is when the people were watching.
Several people watching, some within arm's length, says Upper Darby superintendent of police arrested his 35-year-old Fiston Ngoy, who investigators say is seen on a train security camera sitting next to the alleged victim, touching her, and then raping her. Investigators say a female SEPTA employee called in the attack, which was relayed on radio about the attacker disrobing on a train at 56th Street Station. SEPTA says Ngoy was arrested at 69th Street Station on the train in the act.
The real question was he vaccinated?
That's the most important thing, folks. We need to take COVID seriously. Hey, I said my stupid thing about the Trump thing on the train, but it's the same concept. Why do people act like, I don't want to get in trouble, I don't want to get involved? What's wrong with you folks? This nation was not built on people not getting involved.
Instead, we go around and we police whether people are wearing masks, but you sit idly by, arm's length away, while a guy is raping a woman on a train.
It's inconceivable, and I just want to say again, where are the men? This is like
men
an astonishing
without chests.
That's Eric. I mean that's what it is.
C.S. Lewis.
And that's basically what happens. If you take God out of the picture, you get men without chests, which is what C.S. Lewis writes about, yeah.
It's not the America I knew, but we're going to get it back. Is Atheism Dead? Eric Metaxas is on a crusade to make sure it is. Check it out. Buy the book, Is Atheism Dead? Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, everybody. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.